Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Atlanta's Jazz Station 91.9 WCLK. We are joined this morning by Glenda Carr from the Higher Heights Association. Ms. Carr, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Could you share with our listeners exactly what is Higher Heights?
Higher Heights is a national organization building the political power of Black women from the voting booth to elected office. We are unleashing the organizing power of Black women to help elect more Black women to office, to help ensure that we're prepared to vote, and for us to organize our networks to the polls. As you know, when you fire up a Black woman, she doesn't go to the polls alone. She brings her house, her block, her church, and her sorority. Yet and still, the 23 million Black women in this country are currently underrepresented and underserved, particularly as it relates to being represented in decision-making tables like state houses, Congress, and as executives in this country.
Well, you mentioned voting, and we know that in the 2016 election, 98% of eligible Black women actually did vote. When we show up in those kinds of numbers and we still don't really reap any benefit, is there something more for us to do so that we can have things work the way that Black women work, as you mentioned, you know, supporting the whole community?
Well, I believe that Election Day doesn't begin and end. Election Day doesn't begin and end on Election Day. In fact, democracy begins the day after the election. So as we continue to grow our political influence at the polls, we need to do two things. Decision-making tables that are diverse make better decision-making tables. So when we elect more Black women to office, they have an opportunity to help advance policies that are important to Black women, our families, our communities, and our nation. But in addition to that, you know, African-American women, we need to be good partners as we help to hold our elected officials accountable and to create an environment for our elected officials that are champions of our issues to be able to advance those policies. So it is deeply, more importantly now, I think this is one of the most important election cycles in our country's history, that we don't disengage, that we actually engage in and do what we've always done, which is to show up and show out at the polls, but then to continue to be engaged by writing letters, by visiting our elected officials, by going to our social media feeds. Black women are one of the largest users of social media. So being able to make sure we're amplifying our voices in a way that puts pressure on our elected officials to ensure that our issues that we care about are being addressed in a real way.
Now, we know that in this election cycle, the midterms elections, there's usually a big drop off in the number of people who are participating. But we also know in this election cycle that there are more women running for office in 2018, and by default, in inclusion, more African-American women running for office in the midterms in 2018. What does this really mean? And do you think we will be able to move the needle in support of those things that Black women want supported?
So you are exactly correct. There are a record number of Black women, a record number of women running for office, and particularly a record number of Black women. So leading into the election cycle, we will elect the largest number of Black women to serve in the 116th Congress in our country's history. What I love about that narrative is it is the 50th anniversary of Shirley Chisholm's run and election to Congress, catapulting her to be the first Black woman to ever serve in that body. But in addition to that, we have an opportunity to elect the first Black woman governor in our country's 242-year history in Georgia, in Stacey Abrams. So, you know, the electorate is excited about seeing more Black women from the local level to the statewide level. As Shirley Chisholm once said, you don't make progress whimpering and complaining on the sidelines. You make progress by implementing ideas. And we have more women that have stepped off the sidelines than ever. And it's about now, the next 19 days, how do we ensure that as Black women, we are prepared to vote and that we are armed with the tools we need to organize our networks to the polls so that we can move this country to higher heights by electing more representation, but also electing leaders across this country that may not look like us, but we know that they hold the values and the issues that we care about in a way that will inspire more of us to go to the polls to vote this cycle.
I know one of the outreaches that is coming from Higher Heights are these salons that you all are hosting in major markets. Could you share with our listeners what the salons are for, you know, who can attend, who can host, and how they can get involved in this outreach?
Yeah, so last night, through our Black Women Vote program, we hosted over 100 sister-to-sister salon conversations from across this country where we asked women to open up their homes, to host at local libraries, at church basements, in actual nail and hair salons, an evening conversation about the issues we care about. We want to hear from Black women to talk about what are they voting for this election cycle, and then what do we need to then do to ensure that we are armed with the necessary information to be able to be informed, engaged voters. So we were so excited last night to be joined by Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who greeted our salon conversation virtually with a phone call to issue a call to action that for us to double down as organizers to ensure that our issues are being addressed and that our vote and that we cast our vote and flex our power. So the way you can be engaged in our work across the board is to visit higherheightsforamerica.org. Higher Heights, we believe, we have built a political home for Black women's political leadership. As you continue to visit that website and follow us on social media, you'll find tools from you thinking about running for office or all the way to it's 19 days out for the next election cycle. Have you made your vote plan? Do you know exactly what day you're voting? Are you absentee ballot? Are you voting by absentee ballot? Are you voting on the day of the election? What time of day? What's your poll site? We want to arm Black women with all the tools they need to be engaged in this democracy, from their entry point of being registered to vote to those who are interested in running for office.
You mentioned Black women being interested in running for office. Could you share with our listeners who... You know, I think I've heard it said that usually you have to ask a woman at least 8 times about interest in running for office before they'll actually do it. But could you just share a little bit with our listeners, who are the African-American women running for office? How can you find out, you know, what those steps are to take?
Yeah. So what's interesting about that stat, it is true. Women have to be asked to run for office. Our research with the Center for American Women in Politics has compiled a report called The Status of Black Women in American Politics. And there's research that points to that not only are women not encouraged, Black women are not encouraged to run for office, they actually are sometimes actively discouraged for running for office. So a couple of things. If you're listening to this and you believe that you have you know, something to give as an elected official, may it be your local school board, city council, or state legislative race, plug in and be engaged with our work around training women thinking about running for office. If you know a woman who you think would be an amazing public official, encourage her to run for office. And then, you know, give her the tools to be able to plug into organizations like Higher Heights, Emily's List, Emerge. And then finally, if you are a woman that is, you know, already interested in running for office, you know, there are amazing, like I said, partnering organizations that have a variety of training programs that will arm you with the tools that you need. Or if you're like me, not interested in running for office, but we have a role to play, how can you help be a queen maker? And that is what you can do long term or what you can do over the next 19 days. Women, and particularly Black women who are under-resourced at times running for office, need us to open up our pocketbooks and to financially support them. So I've even doubled my ability to be a political giver this year. I've charged myself to give double the amount of money I've historically given to candidates that inspire me, both on a local and national level, and created a list of those who I would want to support and have been giving them money. It may not be a lot of money. It may be $5 a month. It might be a $25. Wherever you are in the spectrum, send some money to support that woman. We all have time. It might be limited, but if you have a candidate or organization that inspires you over the next 19 days, consider phone banking, consider texting, consider knocking on the doors of your neighbors about an issue or a candidate. But how do we help to fuel the movement, put ground troops on the ground, to help ensure that we're moving this country forward.
I'm going to play devil's advocate, Ms. Carr, just for a minute. You've mentioned, you know, Stacey Abrams here in Georgia. You talked about Maxine Waters participating virtually in the salons that African-American women hosted on October 16th. If you are a woman with a conservative bent or an independent bent, is Higher Heights for you?
So one thing is, obviously, Black women are a monolithic voting bloc. We are from different parts of the country. We come from varied experiences. We cross, potential ideologies. Although, you know, research points to that, you know, Black women overwhelmingly vote Democratic, that we have elected Black women, particularly on the local level, that are either running independent or running Republican. I mean, as you may are aware, out of the 21 Black women serving in Congress, there is one Black woman who is serving as a Republican, Mia Love from Utah. She's the first Black woman ever to serve. So for us, is if you see yourself in an organization like Higher Heights, it's giving you the tools to be engaged. What I love about our analogy about being the political home, if you see yourself in this home, one thing that my grandmother and great-grandmother had, there was always a seat at the table. So we welcome people to come and see what we, you know, what we're focused on in expanding Black women's political leadership. And for us, we are building, electing Black women and organizing Black women to ensure that we are building economically stable, healthy, and safe communities.
I love that answer. Everyone can have a seat at the table, and that's what we really need more of. Now, Ms. Carr, you mentioned that one of the things you decided to do this year was to double your giving. Could you share with our listeners why you're working with Higher Heights? What made this part of your passion to give back in the organization this way?
Well, in 2011, I was trying to figure out my next step. You know, my background is in nonprofit management and political, worked for a state senator as a chief of staff. I've always been politically engaged because I come from a politically engaged family. My 18th birthday, I don't remember what my parents gave me for my birthday, but I remember my mother put me in her car and drove me down to City Hall to register to vote. And until the day she died, she called me and my brothers on every election day to see if we voted. So in my DNA, it is rooted in that. But in 2011, when I was trying to figure out my next steps, Kim Pure Allen, the other co-founder, and I were in a Brooklyn cafe talking about the past election and how we didn't feel that we oftentimes did not see ourselves in many of these spaces around advancing women's political leadership. And we just, by happenstance, like, we should start our own organization focused for and by Black women. We weren't looking to start an organization, but it was something about that moment was an aha moment for us. And we spent 2 years researching and determining what would a space look like uniquely designed for Black women, but welcoming those who want to support Black women. And we launched Higher Heights and have been building an organization, as Kamala Harris said at an event that she attended for us, is that we built an institution for this season that we didn't recognize that we would wake up on December 13th, the day after the Alabama special election, with a chorus of people saying, "Thank you, Black women." For us, our response back was, don't thank Black women for saving the country, because one, we were voting for our interests, but invest in Black women's political leadership, that there's a real opportunity to grow, is a real opportunity for us to truly organize Black women's leadership in a way that we can see ourselves in a truly representative democracy.
Black women have been taking care of this country since, what, day two? I think.
That is true.
So for our listeners who want to get more involved with Higher Heights, maybe they just want to find out about the process. Maybe they want to support, you know, local candidates, or maybe they want to support a candidate. You mentioned Mia Love from Utah. How can they get involved? What should they do in their community to help advance Higher Heights for America?
Like I said, is, you know, the best way to be engaged with our work is to visit, you know, higherheightsforamerica.org, or if you're sitting on your phone now, if you text 555-888 Black Women Lead and follow the prompts, you will find information of how to plug in, from the webinars that we host to local events that we're doing around the country. We, like I said, do a series of research projects where we can arm you with all the latest information by the numbers about Black women in this democracy. We find ourselves, not only organizing Black women around the issues and the candidates, but also just being here as a resource and as a tool. And more importantly, creating a community on and offline for us to uniquely, speak to the issues in a way that oftentimes, only Black women can do.
Glenda Carr, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join and to speak with our listeners today about Higher Heights for America and Black women voting. I wish everyone luck in the midterms and, hope everything works out the way that benefits our country the most. So thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.